out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 8th of February 2019 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, I'm very pleased to say we actually have a special guest with us today. It's somebody that I met at the recent Nationalist Unity meeting that I went to a couple of weeks back that I mentioned, where there were representatives of most of the nationalist organisations in Britain there. And I met up with this young man who is actually the deputy chairman of the National Front, and his name is Jordan Pont. Jordan, how are you doing today? Thank you for coming on.
Yes, thank you for inviting me on also. It was really great to meet you at the Unity meeting.
Yeah, I thought it was very positive, all in all. Just the standard of the people there was very high, I think. They were all well aware of the problems that we're facing as a race and a nation, and everybody was wanting to do what they can about it. And I was particularly interested in what the National Front are up to and how they see their role in modern nationalism, because obviously they've been around for 50 years. They've gone from being a political force to, I guess, doing demonstrations. And I know they had a few problems a few years back with another organization using the same name. But now it seems to me, you know, the National Front is trying to get itself back together. It's had its 50-year anniversary. You've got top people like Richard Edmonds there, and they've got you there as the deputy chairman. So what drew you to the National Front, and how do you see the National Front fitting in with British nationalism today?
Well, as you know, we've been around a long time, really. Being founded in 1967, it was the good days back then. However, we've got a big obstacle to face. In regards to today, is with many, other parties trying to outlaw racial nationalism. And that's basically what we're up against. And the reason why the National Front was there a couple of weeks ago at the Unity meeting, because Britain is falling to pot. And basically, we need to somehow work together to relive the glory days of the National Front and the glory days of the British National Party, to give the British people, the white British people, some hope. But in terms of the Unity meeting, we had to go. The National Front had to attend because every other parties were attending, nationalist parties and other movements in Britain today. However, as you saw, there was a massive split even at the Unity meeting, and half of the room were civic nationalists, the other half of the room was racial nationalists, obviously the National Front, me, Richard Edmonds, who attended. We were sat with Andrew Bronze, who was also a previous chairman of the National Front, which he is now the chairman of British Democratic Party. Steve Frost, a really good friend of mine, really close with Steve Frost for the British movement. There was other racial nationalists present. However, you've also got the civic nationalists who half of them from my BNP days. And I just believe that some of them just want to relive the glory days of the British National Party. But what we was there for is, hold on a minute, the National Front is the oldest racial nationalist party in Britain. We are the only party who will still have a mandate, who will still stand elections and still have a white-only membership. And proud to say, we are the only party in Britain who are anti-gay. I think the people of Britain today are adapting to what is happening around them, to what it was when the National Front was so big in the 70s. And basically, at the unity meeting, me and Richard was a bit upset. I can only speak for me. In terms of what I mean by upset, we weren't exactly in tears, but it was a bit saddening because the National Front has got a big reputation, and people was there at the meeting saying, well, people are not going to vote for the National Front. However, I find that really hard to believe because the National Front is rising once again. We've got thousands of new members flooding in, and it's just the way it's moving now. The National Front is going how the BNP was going when I was in the BNP. Obviously, the National Front does not have tens of thousands of members or what the BNP used to have when I was in the BNP, but it's moving forward.
Well, that's good to hear. I mean, the National Front are really the only racial nationalist party in Britain. And I think the unity meeting wasn't really about political parties. It was about whoever is having success. We should all get behind them and support them. Like the Yellow Vest movement seems to be having some success at the moment. There are Yellow Vest protests that are springing up everywhere. Yeah. And it would be great, you know, if the National Front network could add to the Yellow Vests and provide some people for that. Yeah, just tell me this little extra bit that you wanted to add in here, Jordan, about the Yellow Vests, something quite important that you wanted to tell people about the Yellow Vest protest. Yeah, was this the vote protest in Leeds?
Yes, there was recently the Yellow protest, the Yellow Vest protest happened in Leeds a few weeks ago. And it was a really good protest. However, there was a young lady there. I wasn't sure what organisation she was from, but she did a Nazi salute, a Sieg Heil to the cameras, wearing a yellow vest with other yellow vest nationalists, and the papers basically says the yellow protests are full of basically Nazis hiding behind the yellow vest to cause trouble. And I believe that with her doing that salute now, it's just going to make the police automatically kettle anyone who would be interested in doing a yellow protest in the future. We will not have a chance. And I think she has totally damaged what could potentially have been an uprising in Britain for racial nationalism.
Do you know anything about her? Are you aware of her at all? Are people aware of who she is?
Yes, we know who she is. We have her name. However, I don't feel fitting
is she
to
banned?
Release.
Is she banned from anything?
Yes, she's been a troublemaker in the past, and she's been banned from attending 28 gigs. She's also banned from attending National Front events, meetings. And she's also, as far as I'm well aware, she's also banned from attending anything to do with the British movement. So I don't know why she was there. I don't know who invited her, but I believe she might have been a plant for the papers, because if anyone who has seen that picture, it's funny how whoever took the picture took it at a perfect angle to block out her face. How much of a coincidence is that? However, when the past protests with other groups, the press has always been in our face and made sure who we are. They put a target on our face. But the press, in this instant, did not take a picture of her face. Why was her face not taken when she was doing this Nazi salute? Because she did this Nazi salute, I think she was paid by the press to damage anything, what would ever happen, anything good, what could have come out of the yellow protest in the future.
So somebody that's been known to be causing trouble before, a possible provocateur, and lo and behold, she turns up at the yellow vest protests doing Roman salutes. Yeah, it's very suspicious that. Yeah, that is something we should make people aware of. So that people, you know, the National Front don't get the blame for it. Racial nationalists don't get the blame for that. Because the yellow vests, I mean, it's civic nationalists and it's racial nationalists, and it's things like that that can cause a divide between the two. So I think it's important you brought that up, Jordan.
Yeah. Well, I think the times of doing the Nazi salute, Roman salute, is over. Anyone who is willing to do a Roman salute, Nazi salute, I have to mention Nazi salute because Joe Public only know it as a Nazi salute. So anyone who is doing that in the street is obviously doing it to cause trouble. And that is what is putting us backwards. We need to get away from doing salutes. We might be all National Socialists at heart, but we need to get away from saluting in the street, and we need to be putting more effort into doing street activism, being more professional, turning up, wearing suits. The day of the skinhead is finished. We need to be more professional. We need to be more business-looking types. And we cannot be on the streets in jack boots, scaring off the old ladies when we need them old ladies and them old men, as well as the young people, to be voting for a future of white Britain.
And then again, if the National Front are putting up a candidate somewhere and they've got a lot of support, then maybe Heritage and Destiny readers, old members of the BNP, maybe they could go out and help the National Front doing the leafleting. I think that was the general idea of the meeting. It was like, we're whoever is having success, then we need to get behind them and support them. And it is a shame there aren't any other racial nationalist parties in Britain, but at the same time, it should mean that you can capitalize upon that. Because like you say, it's back like it was in the 70s again now. You've got a lot of people that are waking up to nationalism. Their areas are being ruined by diversity and multiculturalism. And they're all asking, well, what can we do about it? What can we do about it? Who is there? It does seem to me that, you know, if the National Front had more of a distribution network, say, people dotted around everywhere, then it would possibly, you know, it could have a chance to grow. But it just seems to be sort of dotted about all over the place at the moment. Are there any major centres of the National Front in the country where there's like a high proportion of members?
Well, funny enough, the biggest region for the party has to be Yorkshire. The most members are coming from Yorkshire, as well as London. The London Borough, there are lots of members present in the London Borough, like Richard Edmonds, for example. Richard Edmonds has been doing the game a long time. He's a really experienced man, brought up from a working class, middle class family in the London Borough. And with his experience, he's brought in fellow nationalists from his BNP days, and still some old-school nationalists from the glory days of the National Front in the 70s are still around today in London. However, what I am finding here today is that the rise of the membership is coming from Yorkshire and Derbyshire area. The Yorkshire region, I would say, was on par with London, but I would say is way more active. We've got, not only have we got the Yorkshire Regional Branch, we've got Tricia Scott, who is running our Scarborough branch. We've got Nick Walsh, who is our treasurer for the party. He's also running the Hull branch. We've got someone in place, John Mainprice. He's also been working well. By the way, John, I'd like to mention that John, he is a British Movement member. However, he's also a National Front member, which the National Front and both British Movement support dual memberships. See, in a way, a bit of unity is already being formed between the National Front and British Movement to say they have a bit of a bad history together. But I can honestly say that, as I mentioned earlier, me and Steve Frost are on really good terms. I've got a lot of friends in the British Movement. They help the National Front. We work together. We do demos together. We do street activities together. We leaflet. So there is some unity there. But getting back to the original question, yes, Yorkshire's rising up, and I feel really positive about the upcoming local elections in May for Yorkshire. I don't want to dish out any figures. However, I would like to see, personally, that I would like to see a candidate standing in every city and town in Yorkshire at this local election.
Well, that would be great. And if you get, what you really need to do then is get other people, get BNP to stand down in those wards, maybe get For Britain to stand down there and say, well, the National Front are going to concentrate on Yorkshire. Do you know what I mean? And they talk to these other groups so that the vote isn't split. So that people that support nationalism say, right, we'll support the National Front candidate. And then you could offer them, you could say, well, we'd be quite happy to send people out to help you, say, for instance, For Britain, campaigning in another part of the country. So, you know, that sort of thing. And the meeting, this unity meeting, hopefully meetings like that could facilitate, you know, that sort of thing, working together. I know we've got issues with some of the platforms of the civic nationalists, but I think we've really got to concentrate on what we have got in common with them, because we have got a lot in common with them. I don't see them as our enemies, and we have to stop them from seeing us as being their enemy. I see that as probably the biggest issue is, you know, they will call us Nazis or fascists. But I think if we can get to actually talk to them, they can see that we're actually pretty decent people. You know, we're not idiots, and we just care about our country and want to do what's best for them. Well, it's good to hear that you've got a large concentration of people there in Yorkshire. How long have you been involved in the National Front then? Because you were saying that you were in the British National Party before then, were you?
Yes, I left the British basically, I joined National Front in 2011 when I became disillusioned with Nick Griffin, which I'm sure many of your listeners was also disillusioned with Nick Griffin. Basically, my path started when I was 16, funny enough, when I joined the Young British National Party. I saw on the TV, I saw this once great man, Nick Griffin, was being locked up in, he had some dispute at Leeds Crown Court, and I thought to myself, this man is fighting for the working class, the white working class. I want to get involved with British nationalism politics and be alongside and fight for this man. So basically, I started off following the BNP, being in the youth BNP at 16. When I became 18, I fully became active with my local branch, which was the Sheffield branch, which I must admit was a quite large branch, hitting 200 members alone in the city of Sheffield, which is my birth city, which I'm sure many people will tell you is a massive student, liberal, red city. David Blunkett, one of the former Home Secretary, came from Sheffield.
And yet you were able to get together 200 people there. And yet you were able to get together 200 young people to join up with the BNP in somewhere like Sheffield. Yes. So I'm sure it can be done again. And so how far back was that? 10 years back, are you saying?
Well, when I joined them I joined BNP, Young BNP, 2016, but when I got fully active with the BNP was in 2008. And that's from 2008 till 2010, they were sitting 200 to 250 members in the Sheffield branch alone. Not to mention, that's not including the outskirts. The BNP was a really massive party for racial and civic nationalists. And it's just a shame that the BNP, Nick Griffin, got too greedy and decided to take, you know, I don't want to bring anyone in disrepute by saying this, but Nick Griffin robbed a lot of people, a lot of good people out of their own money. So moving away from that, the BNP was a massive party. I was in the BNP. I stood elections for the BNP from 2008. I stood election in 2009. I stood election for the first time in my whole life. Obviously, I was only 18 in 2008. And I came third, beating out of seven in a David Blunkett ward, which is David Blunkett was standing for the general election and I was standing in the local election. So it was class a target ward. So I beat the Conservatives, I beat UKIP Party, I beat Green Party. Obviously, the Tusk stood against me, which were the Socialist Worker Party. I came 150 votes off second place. Liberal Democrats just beat me to second place. And that was a fantastic accomplishment for the British National Party. Not only was it were my first time standing, but the local opposition were so shocked to see the BNP gaining them amount of votes. I stood in a really bad area. A lot of bad poverty in the area with a lot of refugees. Refugees was coming into Sheffield even back in 2008. The Sheffield city, which is still today a city of sanctuary for any refugee to come in, and many British, white British people who voted for me when I stood in the BNP was against immigration. And to this day, even in the National Front now, I believe that I can re-establish them links with them old British National Party members in Sheffield, as well as the whole of the northern country of the National Front.
Sheffield, I mean, they've got that Somalian mayor, haven't they, that's a refugee. So there must be a lot of white people that are very annoyed at that. So you could get a protest vote. But what I was going to ask is, what do you put it down to then? What was it that was able to get that many people, 200 people joining the BNP, people voting for you? Because if it's 10 years back, I mean, we've had a few changes since then. We've got the internet, we've got social media, but I think that was really around at that time. So what would you put it down to that was able to get that many people? And could that be transferred to doing, you know, something similar today? Or have we moved on too far technologically, do you think? Do you have any ideas of how you could, you know, get that same success again now, 10 years later?
It's a difficult one. It really is. This is why we've hit a speed bump. This is why we've had to come to trying to work together, because I honestly don't understand what went wrong to when the BNP was sitting 200 members in one city branch alone. I don't know. There was technology. The technology what we have today obviously is more advanced. I think what it is with the pressure groups of the Unite Against Fascism, the Antifa, Not only that, the Conservatives, Liberal Democrats, Labour, all the politicians who were elected today are forever going on, crimes against white people. As soon as a white person commits a crime, or as soon as a white person goes on Facebook or Twitter, and they'll have this white person could be, by the way, just a Joe Public, someone who's not as political as me and you. But they would have a rant about, I have just seen a few refugees moving into a house, and whereas some of our soldiers who fought for us in wars, Gulf War, other wars, they're living on the streets. So I think as soon as you say that nowadays, you're finding many nationalists and other people who are non-nationalists are getting locked up 1 month, 2 months. And I think the powers of today have put that pressure and put that block on social media, and that is what has put many British people off from voting and getting involved with racial nationalist parties like the National Front.
That's sort of what I was thinking about is, back then you would have the protests and people would be meeting up, and now people tend to be doing things on social media. They tend to try and remain anonymous. But really we need to get people together. I mean, if you look back then, you were brave enough to stand, for election, and all these people were brave enough to say, yeah, we're members of the BNP. And today people largely remain anonymous and do a lot of activism online. So what do you think about that? Can that be transferred to the National Front and the BNP? Do you think they need to start doing things like that? Or is there still room to have the demonstrations, the protests and the activities in real life?
Well, I think there's still room for having demonstrations. However, this year alone, the National Front has decided to not hold any demonstrations this year. We've just decided to host more meetings, more local meetings. We're getting around the country. We're hoping to get back into Scotland. And we're just focused on bringing in new people, like-minded people who can come in, have a meeting, listen to speakers, Richard Edmonds, Tony Martin, me speaking, Kevin Bryan, who's the ex-chairman of the National Front. He is still in the party, and he is still a powerful speaker who is offered to speak at any meeting. However, there is many people who are scared to stand up. But we had a victory not long ago in 2016 when the British people woke up and they voted for Brexit. 17 million votes was a vote against the hated European Union. They voted against mass immigration. The National Front has been against mass immigration and against Britain's membership of the European Union ever since that the traitorous Tory Prime Minister Ted Heath tricked us into joining. And I believe many people today woke up at 2016 and said, this is my chance to do a protest against mass immigration. And that is why they voted for Brexit. And that is why we voted to leave. I know we haven't left yet, but the National Front still supports that Brexit vote. And that is why I believe that many people who voted for Brexit are turning to the National Front, because we are the only party, or the only racial nationalist party, who are proud to say that we will speak our mind and not be afraid to say it.
So you can capitalize on that feeling and get them to join. Because I think that's a good idea, concentrating on the meetings, because you have got some excellent speakers. The ones that you just listed there, they're all fantastic speakers. And I think if you can get members of the public into these meetings where you can hear some of the ideas that the National Front have, some of the statistics, some of the history that people like Richard Edmonds know about, that's the way to get people. And then you can educate them, inform them, and then they can make other people in their community aware of these same issues. And then, you know, hopefully you can have another electoral success when you're putting somebody forward again for election. So when are these next elections coming up? Is it local elections? Is it?
Yeah, the local elections are coming up in May. I've not really found out what date it is. I'm still waiting for them to announce it, but it's normally the first May, in the first week of May. Sorry. Unfortunately, there's no local elections in the London Borough, so the eyes of the National Front is basically looking on the next, or one of the biggest active regions, which is Yorkshire. So that puts more pressure on me, basically. Not only as the Deputy Chairman of the National Front, but I am situated in Yorkshire, so I've now got to pull my finger out. I've got to encourage Tricia Scott, to encourage her members to stand in the local election of Scarborough and surrounding areas. I've got to encourage Nick Walsh to get recruits basically to stand in Hull, because Hull's becoming a mass immigration city. I've got to try and find candidates in West Yorkshire. Luckily, we had the Unity meeting, which took place in West Yorkshire, and I was able to reconnect with some long-lost friends who said to me that, yes, the National Front is the right party to move forward with. However, I don't want to make this interview all about the Unity meeting, but what I've been seeing about reaching out to the For Britain party, which is a brand new party once again, who organised the Unity meeting, why is he wasting his time encouraging people to join this new party, which is For Britain party, which I'm Marie Waters, who is in this party, one of the leading figures. It's an open lesbian, and she has dished out many statements saying we must be working with Jewish people to rid Britain of Islam.
Well, that's the issue, yeah. About, you know, having to make compromises. You know, we know there are issues with civic nationalists that we don't agree with, but they are the ones that seem to be growing at the moment. That's the thing. I mean, obviously, don't agree with her being a lesbian, don't agree with her working with Jews, but we do agree with the way that she stands up to the grooming gangs, do agree with the way that she gets on the BBC debating against Muslims, and we do agree with her being against immigration. I would imagine he's just reaching out to members of For Britain saying, well, look, if you've got an area where you think you're going to win, we'd like to help you. And this is what I mean. If you've got an area you think, yes, the National Front are going to win, then you would need somebody, you were just mentioning, as a go-between you and For Britain, to say, look, National Front, we think we're going to win in this area. Do you mind standing down in this area? And we'll stand down in an area that you think you're going to win. And you'd need somebody to go between. I should imagine that's probably what he's... what he's aiming at.
Yes, I totally agree with you. When Richard Edmonds stood in the by-election in Batley not long ago, he stood against three or four other nationalist parties. That took a lot of votes off the National Front. But we knew the National Front was not going to win that election. The National Front has not been active in that area for a long, long time. But we still stood a candidate, because no one would work with each other and no one would say, I want to stand or I'm going to stand. But I believe in what you said. I do totally agree with you. If someone walked up to me tomorrow, contacted me tomorrow and says, I live in Leeds and I believe that I can get elected or I can get nearly elected with another civic nationalist party or another racial nationalist party, then I would say, okay, would you like any activists? I will happily come out and help you leaflet, because that's the only way we're going to win today. Yes, I am the Deputy Chairman for the National Front, and yes, I believe that the National Front should be leading from the front. that is what happened when the National Front was formed 51 years ago, where three, four other groups collapsed and all joined the National Front to form this new party, the National Front, back in the heyday of the late 60s to 70s. But today we've got to compromise somehow. And I did not dispute that at the unity meeting. I said that we should drop civic nationalism to a point. We should still focus on racial nationalism. We shouldn't forget about our roots, but we should work together. And I would be happy, I would be proud to see another nationalist party get elected.
That's the thing. I mean, if she gets somewhere with For Britain, I'd be very pleased to see that, because at least then we would have somebody standing up for us. And you think, you know, she's being attacked by the same people that we are. She's got the Antifa after her just as much as we do. She's white. You know, there are a few issues that we disagree on. And that's the way I think we've got to look at people. Anyone that's resisting, what's going on, that's resisting the New World Order, resisting immigration. If they're white, then, you know, they're our brothers and sisters. And if they're not for the 14 words, then that's because they don't understand it properly yet. That's all. We can't, make them into enemies. And the way we're going to bring them around is to be good to them, not be bad to them and try not to help. If we're all, you know, not trying to help one another, but trying to sabotage one another, nobody's going to get anywhere. You know, as I say, if Britain First were to get somewhere, or For Britain were to get somewhere, I would see that as a victory for us, just because they are so different to what we've actually got, and they're partially towards where we are already. I dare say a lot of their members already are. I know that there are some members of For Britain. I know there are racial nationalists that are helping her.
Yes.
They're helping her out. Yeah, they're helping her out because she looks like she might have success. And, you know, unless any of us actually do get some success, we're not going to be able to put any policies in place. We're not going to be able to do anything. Now, this is the good thing with these local elections. If you can get people in there, then they can actually start making some changes in the areas that they live in. So what do you think would be the best way to recruit people for the National Front? Do you have does it have a youth wing at all, a youth organisation?
Yes, the National Front has a youth group. Young Kevin Lascell, who is from London, he came from the British National Party as a youth organiser of the British National Party. He became also disillusioned with Nick Griffin, and he joined the National Front, and he is the youth organiser, he is our youth contact. He has got many youth friends. He's also working closely with the NOP, where there's a lot of young lads in, which is a Polish group. Yes, I know. And I know we're in Britain, but these Polish lads are here because of the European Union, and they believe in the 14 words, and they see the National Front as the true party of Britain, who also fights for the 14 words. And that is why many of them also support the National Front, even though the National Front is strict on immigration and strict on European immigration. However, I would welcome any Eastern European into this country, after we come out of the European Union, who still fights for the 14 words, because I would rather rub shoulders with a white European, than rub shoulders with the disgusting vile creatures that we have in this country today.
Yeah, and the other thing is with the National Front, I mean, you've got an above board organisation there that young people can join. It's not an organisation that's been prescribed. It's a political party. It's a registered political party. It puts forward candidates for election, and it supports the 14 words. It's racial nationalist. So you've got an organisation there that young people could join up with, and know that it's all legal and above board. I would say that's a bonus, particularly in these times when People are very worried that they might become associated with National Action. Say, you know that National Front are nothing to do with National Action. So young people that are wanting to do something that is above board, you know, that's a good idea. Join up with the NF. All right, Jordan, have you got anything else you'd like to say before we finish about the National Front? Do you want to say just why people should join the National Front before we finish?
One sec.
what sets the National Front apart from all the rest?
Well, as I said earlier on in the interview, the National Front stands by everything what they stood for in the 70s, even when Tyndall was the chairman of the National Front. The National Front has not given in. They have not given to the defeat and the pressures of the opposition. They are still fighting strong. With me, I am only 29. I am I'm probably one of the youngest ever deputy chairmen for the party. Tony Martin, he's also in his 40s. I can't 100% comment on what exactly his age is. I think he's 44, but I'm sure he'll tell me when he hears his radio show. But he's still also a young chairman. Many chairmen of the National Front has always been above 40 in the late 40s to 50s to 60s. So this is why the National Front is different to others. We've got a young leadership. We've been around, we've seen it happen, we've come from other parties. Both me and Tony was in the BNP, although I never knew Tony in the BNP when I was there, because obviously Tony was down in the BNP London and we never really met each other. But since me and Tony have been together in the National Front from 2011, me and Tony have built a strong partnership. We both work together as a leadership. We're not stabbing each other in the back. I'm always communicating with Tony Martin. Tony Martin is always communicating with me. We're two peas in a pod, basically. And that is what is encouraging young people to join, because they are seeing young people getting up to speak. They're seeing young people marching. It is getting back to, hopefully, I don't want to jinx it, but it is getting back to how it was when I was in the BNP. I would like to say that the National Front in the next 10 years would have been hitting the par of what the BNP was. In fact, I believe that the National Front in 10 years' time will be maxing out. I just believe that many people are turning, many people are popping their bubbles. Many people are waking up and they are looking at parties out there and they are seeing the National Front is the only party who still stand by their main core beliefs, which is be proud and be white.
And National Front have always been for the 14 words, basically. They've always been racial nationalists. As you say, they're anti-gay. They want to bring back the death penalty for pedophiles. They want to repatriate all the invaders in the country. I mean, if you want a white nationalist party, then the National Front are the ones to join. All right, Jordan, thank you very much for coming on today. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.